Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
And of course, I'll remind you what we've talked about so many times, what Jesus said in his testimony when he came to the cross. The prince of this world is coming. He knew it. God was allowing him to do his thing. And of course, he deceived himself and, you know, wrecked his own chances. Thank God for the victory that God had purposed. But the point Jesus was making is the prince of this world is coming, but he has no hold on me. That's the key. I have been tested. Was he not a tested stone? He came down here and experienced the same flesh that you and I have to deal with. But God gave him the strength and the knowledge and the wisdom to learn how to say no and to recognize what was going on. Satan is trying to appeal to me to put this first, to seek what my flesh wants. It could be pride. It could be physical lust. It could be a gazillion things that all come from this nature. But Satan did not have any hold on him, and he had tested. He had looked everywhere, put Jesus under a microscope. And did that mean, by the way, that he didn't still have something to overcome? Obviously, he had the cross. And he had to go to the Lord, and he had to go to his Father and get strength. Strength that beyond anything you and I will ever need. Thank God that he went there. Thank God that even in that test. See, this was that garden experience happened after Jesus had said that. And yet there he was under a tremendous assault of the enemy and having to say, Father, not my will, but yours be done. There was still a sense of having to stand and having to overcome. Praise God, and thank God he overcame. Praise the Lord. In fact, isn't that what Jesus said in the world? You will have trouble, but cheer up. I have overcome the world. When did he say that, by the way? That was before the cross, wasn't it? He hadn't even gone to the cross yet. Boy, I'll tell you, there's a faith, there's a confidence in the purpose of God. Can we put ourselves in God's hands and know how it's going to turn out? Isn't that the message of the gospel? It's not, here, you know, I'll get you started, there's the road, go for it. And we'll see how you turn out. This is, I'm putting myself in the hands of an eternal God who has already planned everything from the beginning to the end. So this, whatever I'm feeling right now, I need to be able to look beyond that, don't I? Praise God. You know, I was my Bible reading right now, and Ron's, I guess, too. Ron, if you're listening, we're reading in Solomon right now about Solomon's building the temple, and he goes into great detail about every element of the temple, the decoration of it, the forming of it, the craftsmanship that went into it. And it took, 7 years to build? This was no small project. This was an amazing thing. I think the whole thing, if you add all the extra rooms, it's just slightly bigger than this church, the whole thing. The inside of the temple was narrower, but the whole, with all the side rooms and all the outside front, it probably would have gone from that wall at least to the end of our overhang in the front. So that's a rough idea. But it was the craftsmanship, the gold, the carvings, everything was just amazing. But you know, I was thinking about this because that's not... Ultimately, that was a picture of something. That was not the temple. That's not really where God was interested in dwelling. Where is he interested in dwelling? Us, isn't it? Are we not being builded together? For what? What reason? God is looking for a place to live. He wants a house. He doesn't need to go to some realtor somewhere. He's building his own house. But think about what went into the temple. Every little piece had its own design It was shaped to be exactly what it was, to fill its place. The craftsmanship that went into it, the gold that was overlaid, so much of it. Do you not see a little bit of a picture of what God's doing in us and how individual all of this is? There was a uniqueness to everything that went into that temple. Yes, there were several of certain things, but I mean, basically every part of it was designed by a master craftsman. Does that sound familiar? We're saved by faith, by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not based on works, not on works. Why? So that we can't boast. But then what does it say? We are His workmanship, the craftsmanship, I guess, whatever different translations say this, basically convey the same thing. There's a master craftsman at work in your life and mine. Do you suppose that He knows the depths of what's going on in every life? Do you think He knows what needs to happen and how to shape? You know, some of the things that were involved in shaping those elements of the temple had to do with chipping stuff away and getting rid of it. Of course, we love that, don't we? Not that, Lord. Wait a minute. He says, you love not your life to the death. I wonder how many things in our lives we are so attached to that really aren't from the Lord and they aren't serving His purpose. But we have been so groomed. You know, you're familiar with that term in modern culture, how we've been kind of programmed, is another word. From our youth, the devil has sized us up in our personality and our circumstances, and he has done everything he can to inject his ideas and to play upon our weaknesses and to get us used to thinking and acting a certain way. God's got a job on his hands. Do you suppose he's up to it? But do you suppose it's so simple that we just say, oh, no problem. I believe in Jesus. All is good. No, God's got a job on his hands to fix me and to actually change me so I can be a part of a place that God can live in? Whoa! He's got a job on his hands, doesn't he? But is he faithful and is he able? Thank God. There's so much that he needs to work on. And I was thinking about how, regardless of where you're at and what the need is, everything that God allows in our lives, whether it has to do with the pre-convention time and all the pressures that come and all the distractions that come, whatever it is, we have a God who's able to look down into the depths of every life. He knows what we need. Loves us enough to do something about it. And in every case, the way to deal with it, God puts something in our pathway. He allows the enemy to push on that thing. Are there recurring issues in your life? Are you somebody that struggled with fear all your life? Many people that would apply to. I won't look for shaking heads on that one, but we all have a certain amount of that. But the other, you know, I mentioned too, what about the besetting sins? Are there things that the enemy has just programmed into your nature just enough that you keep falling into that? It could be anger, but it could be a fleshly thing. It could be all kinds of things. And the enemy just knows how to push the buttons, how to arrange the circumstances, and you get in a place where you feel oppressed. And somehow there's a weakness just to give in to that. And, oh, my God, I did it again. God, help me. And he does. But what, you know, why would God literally allow the devil to keep pushing that button? Is it because he wants us to fail? Or does he want us to learn how to overcome? See, in many instances, overcoming means I need to get rid of that. God needs to lift me to a place of victory, so that's not part of my life. That doesn't rule over me. That's the issue. If what rules over me basically is coming from my old nature, I need some deliverance. And God's going to keep letting the enemy in recurring ways keep pushing that and trying to work on that. And God's aim is that I learn to overcome. And there are great promises. And God wants to bring us to a better place. What a dangerous prayer it is when we say, Lord, I want higher ground. Lord, I want you to use me. Lord, I want you to make a difference in the kingdom through my life. I think you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Some of you prayed that. And you said, oh, Lord, I didn't know it meant this. But the thing is, if God doesn't deal with this old nature, our lives, what John calls our lives in Revelation 12, that we're loving so much, we're still attached to more than we know. If God doesn't break those connections, how effective are we going to be? I mean, Paul recognized that it's kind of like an athlete. Now, the earthly athletes, they're going for a prize. They're disciplining their body and they're doing all these things because they want a prize. Well, I want a prize too, but it's not that kind. I want to go for the ones the Lord offers. He's called me to seek after something that's eternal. But how can I do that if there isn't some self-discipline? And so he actually, in the Greek it says, I beat my body, or I keep it under, in one translation. Or I'm in charge, my body isn't. I keep that under. I recognize that there's impulses that come from my flesh that if I just let them go, if I somehow, well, that's okay, it's all taken care of. And the Lord's wanting to deliver. And the Lord's wanting to actually break that hold and break that tie. But Paul says, I beat my body and I make it my slave, I think in this translation. I bring it under subjection. I make it my slave. Is your body and its impulses your slave to serve God? Are you in charge or is it in charge? And the Lord's going to bring us into circumstances that kind of help us to see. And in every instance, is the Lord's purpose to defeat us and make us feel discouraged? I think you know that's not the case. But I just pray that God will help us in these areas, because many times overcoming does mean I need to be free from that. It's a weight that I need to lay aside, as Hebrews 12 says. It's something that is so attached to me that I can't run freely. I can't be what the Lord wants me to be, because that's holding on to me. And I need the Lord to cut that chain. So overcoming in that context means to get rid of that thing and to be able to say, I have the victory. Now, does that mean that in every case you're going to have this grand experience and suddenly it's going to be gone? No, more often than not, it's going to be a step-by-step, day-by-day looking to God.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.